Yesterday we discussed the shaila of combining numerous names of niftarim into one kalmale tfila, and since Shavuos is on the horizon, thought perhaps it would be appropriate just to discuss a yisker related question. Two questions, in fact. Number one, the minhag that those who are not saying Yizkor leave the Beis Knesses. What is the reason for that minhag? Is it critical? And, of course, the question begins first with, why do we say Yizkor altogether? On Yom Tov, no less, when it would seem to be a obvious conflict with the Simchas Yom Tov, which is the one of the mitzvos of Yom Tov, and saying Yizkor seems to be very much in conflict with that theme of Simchas Yom Tov. So, recital of Yizkor, we know the Rama in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Simon Tofrei Shchaf Aleph, quotes the Mordechai, and the reason given by the Mordechai for recital of Yizkor and Yom Kippur, Mordechai writes in Yuma as follows. He says, the practice to pledge to tzedakah on Yom Kippur on behalf of the Niftarim, so the Mordechai cites a basis for that practice from the Sifri. The Sifri says in the discussion of the Pesukim, speaking of Egla Rufa, Kaper La'amcha Yisrael, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu in the context of Egla Rufa to forgive Klal Yisrael, so the Sifri darshans Elo Achayim. That's a reference to asking Kapara for the Jews who are living. Then the Pasuk says, Asher Padisa, those whom you, God, redeemed, says the Sifri, that's referring to the Mesim, to the Niftarim, to the deceased. So the Mordechai says, you see from the Sifri that the Mesim, the Niftarim, also require Kapara, and that's why Yom Kippur, when we are davening for Kapara, so we daven not just for ourselves, but for the Niftarim as well. So that's the Mordechai and Maseches Yuma, and that's the explanation given by the Rama and Tofei Shchaf Aleph as to why the minhag is to pledge to tzedakah on Yom Kippur on behalf of the Niftarim. Tzitz Eliezer, in one of his tshuvas discussing Yizkor, cites the Sefer Chasidim, who expands on this idea a little bit more thoroughly. And he says as follows. He says, we know that Chazal tell us, Bra mezaka Abba, that a son's behavior can serve as a benefit, spiritually speaking, to the deceased parents. And Sefer Chasidim explains that because of this, they instituted the practice of pledging to give tzedakah to benefit, spiritually speaking, those parents who have since passed. And then he adds, and we also find that the mesim are mispalel for the banim. We find that the deceased daven for those who are the children who are still living. And so too, he says, it benefits the deceased for those who are living to daven for them. So it's a two-way street, he says, and especially the tzedakah that is given by the children on behalf of the parents, that benefits them as well. Two-way street. The mesim can daven for those who are alive, and those who are alive can daven for those who have passed away, as well as benefiting them by giving tzedakah, Bram Ezaka Abba, the behavior, the good behavior of a son will benefit the parents. And then he concludes with a little bit of a reminder. Dafkin Olam Hazeh, you can do benefit for the mace who has passed away, but if one fails to act on behalf of the Niftar while he is still in this world, well then in the next world, you can't any longer provide that benefit. Fine, so this is the basis in the Rishonim for the practice of pledging stock on behalf of the Niftarim. Now this, of course, as we mentioned, is very understandable with regard to Yom Kippur. That's the day of Kapara. If the Mesim need Kapara, so therefore we get stuck on their behalf as a benefit for them to attain Kapara the same way we're doubting for Kapara for ourselves. But what evolved over centuries is the practice to say Yizkor on Yom Tovim, Shalosh Regalim, which is, of course, somewhat more troubling. Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah of Simcha, there's a mitzvah of Kapara, okay? I understand Yizkor is appropriate for Yom Kippur. How and why does Yizkor belong on Shalosh Regalim? So the Levush and Simon Tafzadi, coincidentally, that's in Hilchos Pesach, in discussion of Yom Tovim, davening, so Levush writes, the reason we say Yizkor on the last day of Pesach, listen how he phrases it, is because we want to pledge tzedakah. Why do we want to pledge tzedakah? Because the Kriyas HaTorah is Parshas Kol HaBechor, in which we read of Ish Kemat Nas Yado, each man according to the gift that he provides, that he gives, that he pledges. Ish Kemat Nas Yado. So we want to give tzedakah because we read about Ish Kemat Nas Yado. And once we're pledging tzedakah, because that's what we're learning about, therefore the custom evolved to do so on behalf of the neshamos. So the Levush presents it in perhaps the reverse order of what I would have thought. He says it's because we want to give tzedakah, because the pasuk that we read of in that laning is Ish Kemat Nas Yado. Once we're giving tzedakah, so we might as well do so in the schus of the niftarim. So writes the Levush. He says that's why all of the Shalosh Regalim, when we read Kol HaBechor, the last day, that's when we say Yizkor, because we're giving tzedakah on that day. And then he adds, and Yom Kippur, we do so because it's Yom HaDin, despite not laning Kol HaBechor. So there's really two separate themes. Yom Kippur, the theme of Yizkor, is one of Din, Kapara. And the Shalosh Regalim, well, because we laying Kol HaBechor, Ish Kemat Nas Yado, we're pledging tzedakah. Once we're pledging tzedakah, we might as well do so in memory of the neshamas who have passed away. So writes the Levush. Okay, so this is the basis for the recital of Yizkor and Yom Kippur and Shalosh Regalim, as found in the Mordechai and in the Levush. What then, though, is the reason and the minhag for those who walk out? So, the explanation that I had perhaps heard, maybe you as well, I see now is a suggestion found in Sefer Shari Ephraim. The Shari Ephraim, writing in Shari Yud, indicates that Nagu the minig is Misha Aviv v'Imo b'Chayim, someone whose parents are both alive, is Yotze mi'Beis HaKnesses be'Eis Amira sakel melerachamim an Yom Tov an Yom Neroim. And then in the footnotes there, in the Pesachei Sha'arim, he explains or suggests what's the reason for it. So he writes, Efshur shetama minog, maybe it's because Ktsas yesh lochosh la'ayin hara b'kiyai gavna. We're worried about Ayin Hara. Those who no longer have both parents alive are saying Kal Malei Rachamim, saying Yizkor, and those whose parents are both alive are just sitting there and remaining silent. So maybe Yesh Lachush Ktsas for Ayin Hara. So suggests the Shari Ephraim. That's his suggestion. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, cites a fascinating suggestion from Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Rosh Yeshiva in Slabodka Yeshiva. And this he cites, Tzitz Eliezer cites it, he finds it in the introduction of Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein to his Sefer of Chidushim HaBava Kama, Levush Mordechai. Not sure how he found it there, but since Eliezer had that pekiyas. So what does Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein suggest? He says as follows. He says, we all know the minhag is that when there is a chasen and shul, on a regular day, chasen and shul, you don't say tachanun. You don't say kamale, rachamims, you don't say tachanun. Why not? There's one guy who's a chasen. You have a tzibur perhaps of hundreds of people. So Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein suggests as follows. He says, because Klal Yisrael, we feel for each other's simcha. You have to feel for one another. And he says, if there's a chasen in the Beis Medrash, so then it's a yomtif for everyone in the Beis Medrash. So it's not appropriate for anyone then to say tachanun, to say kalmales, because they're all supposed to be misamech with his simcha. That's the reason he gives for why when there's even but one chasen in the shul, the whole tzibur is observing his simcha. They don't say tachanun. They don't say kamal rachamim. So he suggests as follows. He says, if that's the case, so what about Yom Tov? Yom Tov, he says, every single Jew is like that chasen. We're all supposed to be and hopefully are experiencing simchas hachag. So if everyone is experiencing that simchas hachag, so he says, what then is the heter for anyone to say Yizkor on Yom Tov? So he suggests that, well, sometimes for someone who is missing a parent, davening for them is a source of comfort, source of consolation. You feel like you're doing on their behalf, you're giving tzedakah for their neshama. That itself might be a source of consolation for somebody. So for the individual saying the Yizkor, it's not, he suggests, a lack of simcha. On the contrary, it might be actually comforting for him to feel that he's doing for his parents' neshamas. So that's for those who are saying yisker. What about the fellows not saying yisker? So for him, he's just watching everybody else remember the deceased parents. For him, there is no comfort involved in watching someone else saying yisker. So for him, it would be more of a conflict for his simchas yomtov to see everyone else saying yisker. And therefore, he argues, perhaps, if that's the case, his presence in the shul will prevent others from saying yisker, the same way a chassan in shul will prevent others from saying tachanun. That's his argument. In other words, because there are those in shul who are not saying yisker, and for them it's a simchas yomtov, and there's no simcha for them in saying yisker or watching someone else say yisker, because they're not saying it themselves. So if they're being mismatched with simchas yomtov, then others can't say it, because it's like a chassan in shul. You can't say tachanun or kamalit, there's a chassan in shul. So the guy not saying yisker on yomtov is like the chassan. For him, it's just a day of simcha. He's got no benefit from watching others say yisker, so he's going to prevent others from saying it. So he says, that's why he suggests, in order to enable those who are there to say it, the one not saying it should walk out. That's his chiddush in terms of the basis for the minhag of why those not saying yisker should walk out. Not because of ayin hara, but because their presence would prevent others from saying it, the same way a chassan prevents others from saying tachanun or saying kamale. That's Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein's upshot. Also creative and perhaps not what one has heard in the past. One other issue that the Sitz Le'Ezra discusses in one of his tshuvas on Yisker is a question that is very, very often asked, and that is there a basis for, and if so, why, the custom of not saying Yisker the first year after a parent's patira? You look in Shulchan Aruch, and like I mentioned, Shulchan Aruch speaks of Yisker only in the context of Yom Kippurim. And there's no mention there whatsoever of this practice of distinctions between the first year, second year. So where does this come from, if at all? So Sitz Le'Ezra finds it in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, Noagin Shebesoch Shana Rishona, Lemisa Sa'ovo Ha'em, Yotzi Gamkein Bebeis HaKnesses. He cites that minhag, first year within the patira, person leaves shul when they are reciting yisker. He doesn't explain why. Why? Why should the one in the first year of the patira leave the shul? So Sitz Le'Ezra turns to Sefer Kerem Shlomo, who writes as follows. The Gemara Brachas Daf Nun Ches tells us, Ein ha-meis mishtakeach min alev el achar shnei mos ha-chodesh. For the first 12 months, a person is very much mindful of, and still very much, at times, emotional because of his father or mother's passing. And if so, suggests Sefer Kerem Shlomo, maybe the basis for walking out during the first year is because for that individual, it's still a very fresh wound. It's going to perhaps bring about crying on Yom Tif, which then will be an inappropriate avelus on Yom Tif. That's the suggestion mentioned by the Kerem Shlomo. We don't want to, in the first year after a parent's passing, when the emotions are still very raw, to risk the possibility of yisker recital bringing about crying on Yom Tif. So I guess he would not say the yisker for the parents who's within a year. It's that yisker that arouses the emotion. That's what we're trying to avoid. Now, the Sitz Le'Ezra mentions that other poskim don't seem to make any such distinctions. Shari Shvayim, according to the minhag of yisker and Shalosh Kol, makes no distinctions, first year, second year. So this is not necessarily universally accepted. And he acknowledges, yesh mekomos, yesh mekomos. In some places they have that minhag of the first year you don't say yisker. Some places they don't. There's no one hard, fast rule. It really depends. There's different poskim, different achronim who take different sides of the coin. And the Sitz Le'Ezra himself concludes by suggesting, along the lines of what we said before, that sometimes for somebody to say yisker might be a comforting experience for them. If that's the case, Sitz Le'Ezra argues, if he's going to be comforted by it, then it's not going to arouse sa'ar, and then there's nothing wrong with saying it, even in the first year of one's parents passing. So he encourages then one in that case to say the yisker even during the first year. But again, it seems like he's addressing it from that angle. Is it going to bring about sa'ar and bechi and avel san yamtif? In which case, then that's why the minhag exists, not to say it in the first year. But if it's going to be a source of comfort, and even if it brings about tears, he argues, we find in Ramah, in Reish Pei Ches, in Hilchos Shabbos, that if one feels better after crying on Shabbos, then that's allowed. In other words, sometimes even the crying is not itself usher on Shabbos, but it's cathartic. And if that's the case, if it makes you feel better afterwards, then that would be permissible, to say Yisgar, even under those conditions, in the first year, if after doing so, you would feel less distressed and more comforted, he then allows you to do so during the first year of the loss.